Conscious Business, evolving the world of enterprise.
The non-negotiables of conscious business, transformation and grooviness. What are the non-negotiables for a consciously run business? And are more businesses actually becoming conscious? Join us today as we discuss these provocative questions with the founder of Sounds True, Tammy Simon. This is part two of a two-part series.
Join the dialogue on ReframeAmerica.com. And now prepare to be transformed.
Sounds True publishes spiritual media, audio and video products. And I wonder if you have any metrics, or how do you know whether your products are effective? I mean, is there a bottom line you have at Sounds True about transformation or about helping people to change?
You mean, will this product create a real tangible transformation in the person who either listens to it, watches it, or reads it, or whatever?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's almost impossible, I think, to measure that.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be hard for me in my own life to even measure which things have affected me the most and how. And I mean, although I
sure.
could give you a subjective report on that.
Yeah.
But part of it is that as an acquisitions team, and we have a group of people who consider what we publish, we ask ourselves, do we think this product has transformative value? Can
yeah.
we talk about it? Can we make a case for it? And if someone in the room may say, yes, this product, you know, oh my God, it affected me so much, it changed me so much, blah, blah, blah. And I would still potentially have the opportunity and the right to veto it and say, you know, it may have helped you, but I think it also created some delusion and illusions. And, you know, because there's so many ways you can help people. I mean, you can help people lose weight by having diet pills and they can feel a lot better afterwards.
Yeah.
So, and what's the cost of those, you know, diet pills to help that person lose weight? There are other costs. So it's not that simple that one person can say. At the same time, you know, you could say, well, Tammy, that's pretty dictatorial. And that's where I've exerted my signature. And I think as an independent publishing company, you can do that. And so I want my signature and this kind of imprimatur of transformation. So it's subjective. In my sense, I think this is going to be beneficial and we publish it.
Do you ever have to weigh how powerful a product may be versus just monetary concerns versus this other product will be much more popular?
Sure.
How do you make those kinds of decisions?
Well, the sweet spot, if you had a circle of things and you said, oh, I think this circle of things will sell and make us a lot of money. And then you had another circle that said, this is the stuff that we think has the major bang in terms of transforming people's consciousness and uplifting the world. If you put those two circles together, they'll intersect in a certain segment, like Olympic rings, but just two circles. That intersection is the Sounds True sweet spot. We both think it's going to sell and we think it's going to really transform people. So we try to publish right in that intersection. Now, occasionally there are titles that I personally am very invested in. And our sales manager says, Tammy, I'm glad you're really invested in that. I think we're going to sell about 100 copies. What are you, crazy? And I'll say, you know, I'm going to do it anyway, because I think in 10 years, it's going to work. We have 75 new titles we publish a year with all the different formats. If we took that kind of risk with, you know, 70 plus titles, we'd probably be bankrupt.
Yeah.
But can we do 5 titles like that? Can I pick my few pets? You know, that's what we call them, Tammy's pets. Can we put a few pets out there? Yeah. Now, interestingly, often the products that are my pets, they do end up having a life, maybe 5 years later, maybe 10 years later, but they get some traction because there was something. Now, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was just something that I believed very passionately in. Now, will we publish things that are in this other circle, which is the circle that will sell, but we don't think is transformative?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
We just won't. There's no reason. And, you know, there's a couple of things, and these are our bottom lines that are not negotiable as a business. We won't publish things that we don't believe have true transformative value, and we won't sacrifice what we call the grooviness of our workplace. Those two things are non-negotiable.
There seems to be an issue for conscious businesses in general that you're hitting on about quality. How much are the conscious businesses out there going to do the right thing, do what's really going to be most effective in the world? There's a number of ways of looking at what quality will mean. Or are they going to latch on to the trendy notions of what personal development is all about or what environmentalism is all about until it becomes watered down into something that those who've been doing the work in a very serious way know isn't really effective?
Yeah. Well, I certainly can't speak for other businesses. I think it sounds true. We have a strong brand, a brand that's been around for 23 years. And I think it's strong because we've tried not to dilute what we do mm-hmm. just because of market demand. And I believe that actually it's good business to keep our brand strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I actually think in the long run, it will pay off that mm-hmm. we're staying true, quote unquote, to what we believe really will have an impact and not being willing just to respond to what the newest fad is in mm-hmm. personal growth.
It seems to me that really, in a way, your business is a perfect illustration of creating that field within the product area, absorbing it yourself, not only personally, but with your team, living that. And in a way, you have also reached out into the general culture. I don't know how many people are, what's about your customer circle now, 20, 30, 40, 100, I don't know, 1,000 people who get your catalog?
No, we mail our catalog. You ready for this? We print and mail 3 million pieces a year.
Oh, wow. Okay, so here, the better I can make my point. You've reached out into the culture and become a transformative force in there. And I don't think you could have done that if you had not also lived and gelled that same field into a business that has integrity and works. Mm. I mean, yeah. works in the sense of, you called it making love at the workplace. Yeah. Or, you know, in order not to go on any one spiritual track, to put it into simple terms, you know, and enlist people and reach them where they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's been very simple, which is, this is what I'm doing today. I mean, it's just really, meaning I don't want to go into a workplace where I don't want to be. I don't want to work with people that, mm-hmm. that where it's grumpy and terrible. You know, it's just, I mean, it's as simple as that.
Well, all great truths are simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as far as that goes, does someone have to start their own business or work at Sounds True in order to work at a place they don't want to work? What can people do at their existing workplaces? I mean, because I imagine people are listening to this and saying, well, that's great for people in Boulder, Colorado, or for people who are entrepreneurs, but what about me?
Yeah, well, interestingly, I think this is a phenomenon that is growing in popularity, such that the most qualified, bright, creative, innovative minds are saying to their employers, this is the kind of workplace I want. And guess what? If you want me to work for you, we're going to have to make some changes around here. And then the employees, the bright, creative, innovative people have a lot of power in workplaces because mm-hmm. your employers, who may not be as evolved, want to keep you if they're mm-hmm. smart,
yeah.
just to make their enterprise successful. And so I think there's different options. Sure, of course, you could start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a good idea and you're super passionate about it mm-hmm. and you have a kind of singularity of focus that you're willing to dedicate a ton of your life force to this thing you believe in,
mm-hmm.
you know, God bless you, start your own business and be, you know, obsessed and passionate about it for a period of time till it can become profitable and successful. If you're working for somebody else, what in what I'm saying about authenticity can you bring to that workplace that such that, I mean, you can always speak from your own feelings. I mean, mm-hmm. you can do that anywhere you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I'm feeling that the amount that is being asked of me is actually not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a level of pressure and overwhelm. And I'd like to lay it all out and talk about what it is and see what kind of solutions we can find together.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of pressures are you under and how can I support you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have that kind of dialogue in whatever business you're in.
Yeah, it's having those difficult conversations and being proactive in creating some of those environments wherever you are.
Well, I'm interested almost in an exact opposite direction. That's what is... What interests me about Sounds True is that your product is a product that's going to deepen people's awareness in the workplace. It's the same with Falling Fruit. Just being around the product, producing the product, scanning out the people, you're going to be learning about yourself and growing, and you can create an incredibly strong culture that way.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a lot more opportunities for businesses to structure themselves in such a way that the product actually teaches the employees. At the food mm-hmm. co-op in Boulder, we did this by creating a community center within the co-op. So you always had a consciousness-raising component within the co-op that brought in people in another way. So the two entities supported one another, but there was a consciousness raising element. Mm-hmm. I wonder if anybody's got any thoughts about how any business can be doing this.
Well, I do think that each business is its own entity and has to find its own way with any of the ideas that we're talking about. Meaning, if you took the principle that we want to have a learning environment, okay, what does that mean if we're a laundromat?
Yeah,
it's going to be completely different if you're, you know, say an eco laundromat and you want to have a learning environment. You may be learning about completely different things than you'd be learning in a spiritual publishing company. But if you just ask the right question and then you throw it open to everybody there and see what they come up with, they'll come up with things that are rooted in their own situation. Like, oh, we want to learn about, you know, I don't know, environmental toxins that are caused by this or not caused by this or blah, blah, blah. So we want to ask XYZ person to come and talk to our group. Or, do you know what I mean? It would be different in every situation.
The thing that impresses me and interests me in listening to you is it sounds as if you've created a strong culture of organic rising up from the bottom, of really listening to what the employees want, what they need, and what their ideas are. And at the same time, you maintain, from everything you're saying, it sounds as if you're maintaining a very strong grip on the direction that the business takes, particularly in terms of quality.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, in a lot of ways, but I think you can create an environment that's highly collaborative, that's focused on input. We're going to get input from every place, and we're going to listen really carefully. But you know, when it comes down to making the decisions about what we're going to do, I'm going to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And there's balancing those two things together. What I've found has created the, well, it's worked for me at least.
It's great.
Meaning, you know, I could ask any question. You know, we're designing a new part of our building and we have this much money to spend on doing the furnishings and blah, blah, blah. How should we spend it? I don't know. Why don't you guys come back to me with three different proposals, have a team work on it. They'll think of things that, you know, a leadership team of the company would never come up with. I mean, we've done this with our health insurance. We've done this with, we created a green team at the company to do an internal environmental audit. And different groups of employees have volunteered to help in these different ways, brought back a set of options, proposed them, and then the leadership team can discuss them. And then eventually I make a decision based on the recommendations.
That's great.
It seems to me when we look at the general development in the economic philosophy or probably more the economic realities, we have nearly the exact opposite. We have a movement towards, at least when I look at the young people, towards being disempowered at work, towards an alienation, increasing alienation at work. I was just reading, John Bowie's book, Nobody's, about slave labor. I was looking at the young people, the culture of McDonald's and Taco Bell, and not to put them down, but there is nearly a disconnect between a organismic and integrated and balanced business that seems so simple to you, because it's an outflow of both who you are and who your team is and what you're dealing with, and the normal business where there is a, just even the tone, you know, of talking with people who come in, let's say immigrant workers. There is such a disconnect. Where is there a bridge? And I think because it seems so simple to you, I haven't heard yet from you really something where you would say, if you have a business that in that sense is not functional, not supportive, not allowing you to be a whole person, here is where you talked about trainings, for example. What kind of things can one do? Which direction can a well-meaning employer who is caught in a, what I would call a traditional top-down and the buck stops here, and that means usually also the communication stops at latest in the management floor, you know?
One thing, Karin, is I'm not sure that you're correct in saying that the trend, the current trend, is in the direction that you're describing. There's a woman named Patricia Aberdeen, who has actually moved to our area here in Boulder, who wrote a book called Megatrends 2010. And what she described in this book was seven trends that are moving towards what she calls conscious capitalism, socially responsible investment, spirituality in the workplace, more democratic workplaces. There's a growing number of ESOP employee owned mm-hmm. companies. So, mm-hmm. so I'm not convinced, first of all, that the trend that you're pointing to is correct. But then secondly, your other question would, or other point, you know, you find yourself in a work environment. For mm-hmm. one thing, you know, if it's really a work environment that is not open to change, leave, mm-hmm. find another place to work.
That's what I did.
It's, mm-hmm. you know, I really do believe, mm-hmm. I mean, we see the success of huge businesses like Whole Foods. I mean, we're seeing, you know, there's so many companies that are growing right now in strength who are espousing a different set of values. And I think that the investors also are going to see, after all of the corporate fraud and pay for CEOs that's so out of balance, that we're going to see investors who want to invest in green businesses, in conscious businesses. I mean, I think there's a shift currently going on, and I would encourage people to be part of that shift and work for companies that are part of that.
The information age economy is really interesting in this sense, because so much of the structure is so fluid, knowledge-based, oriented towards collaborative work, and frees up a space for conscious businesses to exist. And it's such a dangerous economy in so many ways, so topsy-turvy and insecure. And I see both of your points. I see trends in both directions.
I can see that too, this movement towards a much more conscious, much more enlightened business. But at the same time, I would say 90% of the people I deal with and the businesses I deal with are so light years away mm-hmm. from anything you are mm-hmm. describing. That, of course, always to make a bridge, to reach out a hand. And if it is the encouragement of saying, look, this is not your only option, go look for something else.
On the other hand, light years can sometimes happen in a generation. Mm-hmm. And getting back to one of Tammy's points, I think a new generation of workers coming into these old-fashioned mm-hmm. ideals of top-down hierarchy can actually overthrow it. They can have a revolution within their own companies.
So it sounds true to me. And
that was number two.
But it's the first one on the show. We can only say it once in a day because it's so ridiculous. But I like bad humor myself. It's a big question. Is Sounds True leading the way in a mm-hmm. new movement along with a number of other businesses?
Like, or
is this
fruit?
Yeah, like Falling Fruit, like Whole Foods, like Gaiam. Is this an anomaly? Is it a small group of businesses in their own unique culture in towns like Boulder, Colorado?
Well, I think what it comes down to is individuals who say, what matters to me most is not a certain amount of financial gain, but a certain quality of life and quality of contribution. Mm-hmm. And that quality of what I can contribute to others and the experience I can have moment to moment is going to lead the charge in my life. And I'm going to find a way to use my energy to give back to society. And in giving back to society in a genuine way, society is going to financially grease the wheels of what I'm doing because it values what I'm giving. And when we see as a culture that that moment-to-moment experience is more important than our individual gain, we're going to see different kinds of businesses flowering.
For commentary and information on my conscious coaching life and leadership services, check out ReframeAmerica.com.